we or I as a person cannot bless anyone. I can only say it, but it's God who can establish it. So as you have come this morning, he will bless you in Jesus' name. I want to speak to us about walking in authority based on believing. Note that I'm not talking about having authority. I'm talking about walking in authority based on believing. And the text that I want to use is taken from James chapter 2, verse 23. The book of James, chapter 2, verse 23. That's the text we are going to be sharing from. And I want to believe that God is going to bless someone in the house today in Jesus' name. And that person is going to be me. I say that person is going to be me. Can you say amen for me, please? Praise the Lord. It says, James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. That is really talking about God bringing himself down to the level of man. He was called what? The friend of God. The friend of God. In other words, I mean, what do friends do? Friends work together. You can see on the flyer, the friendship flyer, we have two people working together. What do friends do? Friends unite. You can see on the flyer too, all those hands that come together. You know, friends have something in common. And the Bible says, can two work together unless they be agreed? Two people cannot be friends except they have something in common. So you need to think about who your friend is and think of what you've got in common. So, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Who will know who is God's friend? The best person to know who is God's friend is God himself. And he's the one who declares people his friend. He said, Enoch, walk with God. Enoch, walk with God. He will reveal to people, those who have walked with him. It's a matter of time. Working on authority based on believing. Abraham believed, he had a kind of belief that marked him out to a point that God imputed it, converted it to righteousness on his behalf. So I'm going to be talking to us about the different kinds of beliefs or levels of beliefs that there are. If we are going to be where God wants us to be, there's a level of belief that God expects from us. The level one of belief is where you have absolute unbelief. You are believing something. But what you believe is not in line with what God has to say. For example, you hear people who say, I don't believe in God. And they give all kind of excuses. If there is God, why do people fall sick? If there is God, why do people die? If there is God, why is there war? If there is God, why is this? Does man's unbelief invalidate God's word? No. He said, let man be what? Be liar. And God be what? Be true. It does not invalidate the word of God. Some will even tell you that Jesus has not come. They will even tell you that Jesus is not God. How can he have a son? What they believe does not invalidate the word of God. And the Bible tells us that these are the things that will characterize the later days. When the end time starts to come, that those are the kind of beliefs that you are going to be seeing. I want us to look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and I will quickly read verse 18 to 23. I've got a few Bible passages that I want us to read today. And yet, I want to keep within the time. So, please, just quickly go with me as we look at some of these scriptures. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 to 23. And I'm going to read. It says, little children, it is the last time. Oh, it says, boys, lads, it is the last time. The hour, the end of this age. And as you have heard that the Antichrist, he who will oppose Christ in the guise of Christ, is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have arisen, which confirms our belief that it is the final end of time. They went out from our number, but they did not really belong to us, for if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they withdrew that it might be plain that they all are not of us. But you have been anointed by you hold a sacred appointment from, you have been given an auction from the Holy One. And you all know the truth. Or you know all things. I write to you, not because you are ignorant and do not perceive and know the truth, but because you do perceive and know it and know positively that nothing false, that is, no deception, no lie, is of the truth. Who is such a liar as he who denies that Jesus is Christ the Messiah? He is the Antichrist, the antagonist of Christ, who habitually denies and refuses to acknowledge the Father and the Son. No one who habitually denies, disowns the Son, even has the Father. Whoever confesses, acknowledges, and has the Son has the Father also. Is this not the time when all over the place people deny the existence of God? And in the same 1 John chapter 4 verse 3, the same 1 John, if you look at chapter 4 verse 3, it also tells us some things. It says, and every spirit which does not acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, but will annul, destroy, sever, disunite him, is not of God, does not proceed from him. This non-confession is the spirit of the Antichrist, of which you have heard that it was coming, and now it is already in the world. So that is the first stage of unbelief. Those who would deny Christ. And the other names for the Antichrist include the Assyrian, king of the north, man of sin, son of perdition, the spoiler, and many other names. But thank God that he has translated us from what? From darkness into the kingdom of his Son, which is light. Because this was where we were before. And God has taken us from that level to another level. We are going to determine of ourselves what level are we operating in. And what level we need to be operating in. The second level of belief is the belief whereby the Bible says, it says, with their mouth they honor me, but their heart is far away from me. That is another level of belief. You come to a point that, look, you know enough of the truth, Or you are at a point that you just know that it's too glaring, you cannot say there is no God. So, what do? You join people to say there is God. In fact, we worship him, we lift up our hands, we praise him. That's another level of belief. With the mouth, it proceeds out of the lips. He said, but the heart itself is at a big distance from him. Can we look at Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13 and 14? All these types of beliefs I've taken from the Bible. Isaiah 29, verse 13 and 14. And it's still, the world is still awash with worshippers of that nature, with believers of that nature, who with the mouth would say, look, Jesus is Lord. In fact, they will tell you it is good to live in obedience to him. In fact, they will quote scriptures. They know the language of the kingdom. But when it comes to the heart itself, the Bible says it is really, really far from the Lord. Isaiah 29. Are we there? Praise the Lord. You see, and the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but remove their hearts and minds far from me, and their fear and reverence for me are a commandment of men that is learned by repetition without any thought as to the meaning. Therefore, behold, I will again do marvelous things with these people, marvelous and astonishing things, and the wisdom of their wise men will perish, and the understanding of their discerning men will vanish or be hidden. And you can go on and on and on and on as to what God says he will do with people who operate at that level of belief. I want to believe that that is not the level of belief that you and I will operate on, because it does not bring the fullness of the benefits that we are supposed to have in Christ into our lives. It does not allow us to get close to God to the point that God will be able to come to our level and fellowship with us. Because if God is going to come to people's level and fellowship with them, first of all, they have to be holy and righteous before him. And if all we do is pay lip service, and deep down, our hearts are really far from him, He cannot come down. He cannot fellowship with us. We cannot be partakers of his divine nature. Jesus repeated the same thing in Matthew chapter 15, verse 8. He was quoting from Isaiah 29, verse 13 and 14, what we have just read. Of course, there is also a level of belief that comes from the heart. This is what is called the wavering belief. But not enough to push you into the realm of the miraculous. It comes from the heart. It's the wavering belief. The one that is tossed up and down based on life circumstances. You know, sometimes you see it, sometimes you don't see it, sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not there. Although it comes from the heart, but the problem is that it is not established. It is not constant. Thank God we all said that God is good all the time. And those of us that will come to him must believe that he is. That he is in existence. Does not mean that he's only in existence when we think that things are rosy or things are going very well. That he is in existence even when the wave of life is directly hitting us. That God is on the throne even when things don't appear to be going our way. That God remains on the throne even when it looks like our hopes are dashed. But I can tell you something. The Bible says the expectation of the righteous shall not be cut off. It may be a matter of time. If we will hold the right belief. Again, you may say to me, oh, I know somebody, that brother, he really believed the Lord, he's this, he's that. Why did this happen to that person? I want to tell you, you never know the whole story. There was the story of this woman who was in church. She had a tumor. And the doctors had given him a certain period to live, giving her a certain period to live. And an evangelist was invited to the church that she was attending. And the word of knowledge came and said, there's somebody here. I think this tumor affected her eardrum such that they had operated it and they had to remove part of it, you know. So basically the ear on that side was destroyed. So the word of knowledge came and said, there's somebody in the house. In fact, you've got a tumor. The doctors have operated on you. And this is the condition you are in. And that the Lord said, look, I'm going to supernaturally create for you another eardrum and restore you. And as the man of God spoke and prayed, this woman was healed. And of course, the visiting evangelist had gone. And after some time, you know that when God has wrought wonders in your life, the enemy will always want to try and check how much. We've given that testimony here a lot of times. You want to see how firmly you believe in what he has done, in what God has done in your life. And so this woman, after some time, the time that she was given to die had actually passed. But there was a recurrence. And she was admitted to hospital. So the pastor of the church went to visit her. So the husband was there. And when he said, praise the Lord, she said, praise the Lord. She did everything. She was saying everything. You believe God will heal you? He said, yes, I believe God will heal me. I know. I just trust God. I just did this. And they talked and they prayed. Unfortunately, they lost the woman. Of course, the pastor was devastated. Extremely devastated. How come? This is a sister, you know, in the church. They've always trusted God. These people, oh no, how can God do this? He was dejected. In fact, the pastor said it was so difficult to even go to church and preach. How will I stand before the people? But of course, what did Paul say? He said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Because if God has called you, it does not matter what the situation is. It doesn't matter what the circumstance is. You will still have to get up and do what? And preach. You still have to get up and do what? And share the word with people. It doesn't matter what is happening in your own life. Sometimes if I tell you some of the things I'm going through, if I have my way, I probably would not want to come and preach. But I know for sure that the one who has called me will make me go through this. Not only will I go through, that I will become stronger and there will be testimony to follow. Praise the Lord. So the pastor prepared his message as usual and he went to church and preached. And time went by. So one day, a very, very close friend of the sister who passed away came to visit the pastor and they started talking. And she now said, oh, that was a terrible incident that happened. You know, thank God. You know, he said, it was then, she now said, you see, sister so-and-so was waiting. She was just saying, look, if only that evangelist can come back and pray for her, then she will be healed. All the while, her belief was on the evangelist coming back. If only the evangelist will come back. So even though she was agreeing with the pastor with her mouth, right down deep in her heart, she did not think that God would heal her except the evangelist showed up. So not everything is as it seems. What are we to learn from this? That God will deal with us individually. God will deal with you according to your own belief and how much you are ready to hold on to Him. And not to look at other persons and say, oh, look at brother so and so. Look at this. Because you never know the whole story. I call this level of belief not just the wavering belief as you have in James. It's the doubting, the fleeting belief. It's the kind of belief that occurs when we are in the crowd. It's the cosmetic belief. What does cosmetic do? It presents an exterior that looks wonderful. But deep down there, if I like, I use Morgan for those of us who know Morgan, I use Morgan to rub my hair every morning. If I like, I rub Morgan from now till tomorrow. And my hair may be black. You see it black. Does it decrease my age? Praise the Lord. So the exterior will be seen as glowingly wonderful. But the interior, if it has not changed, it does not take us to where we ought to be. The belief of the crowd, the cosmetic belief. And that is why you see a lot of people in the crowd, they just believe, they praise God and God heals them. And God does wonderful things. And after that, afterwards, what happens? You see them 3 months later, they've lost the miracle. I mean, I'm sure you've seen a lot of people like that. They've lost the miracle. Because when they saw others say they believe, deep down in their hearts, at that moment, they were convinced. They say, because everyone is saying it, they just believe it. But as soon as they leave, things start to happen in their lives, they begin to forget. Now, let's quickly look at the book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 14 to 26. I'll quickly read. And I'll be quoting a lot from Mark because that's the book I've been studying lately. The book of Mark, chapter 9, verse 14 to 26. I'm going to share a story with you there. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? In other words, what are you doing with my disciples? What are you asking them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which had a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and said, O faithless generations, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed for me. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And of times it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if, listen to this, but if thou can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Is that a statement of faith? That's not a statement of faith. If you can do anything, have compassion. If you can do anything, if there's anything you can do, that is the belief in the crowd. If you can do anything. But thank God for the life of this man, because he goes on to say, when Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, All things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Look at the contradiction there. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Praise the Lord. Sometimes God just needs to help our unbelief. Even though we are confessing by mouth, but deep down we just know. The guy just cried out. Sometimes we need to cry out to God and say, Father, just help my unbelief. And take me to that level where I'm able to connect with your provisions, with the miraculous, with the divine power of your presence. Thank God. He cried out, I believe. First he said, I believe. But he said, no, Lord, please help my unbelief. That is the belief of the crowd. Maybe sometimes people are ashamed to say, I don't believe. To confess what the state of their mind is in truth. And they just, we mouth it. The fourth kind of belief, or the fourth level of belief, is the level that translates unto righteousness. That is what we read in James chapter 2, verse 23. The fourth level of belief is the one that translates unto righteousness. It's the one that makes us friends of God. It's the one that makes us a family of God. Remember, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You will be called the friend of God in Jesus' name. Every member of the family of God is intended by God to enjoy this relationship. That is the original intention of God. That every member of the family of God will do what? Will enjoy the intensity of that kind of relationship with him. Can you please open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 51? The book of Isaiah chapter 51. And we are going to read the verses 1 and 2 there. And it says, hearken to me, you who follow after righteousness and justice, you who seek and inquire of and require the Lord, claiming him by necessity and by right. Who is God speaking to here? God is speaking to a specific group of people here. Who are the people? Those who follow after righteousness. Remember that it has nothing to do with the color of their skin. It has nothing to do with their race. It has nothing to do with their age. It has nothing to do with their sex. It has nothing to do with their standing in the society. The ones that God is directing his speech to, he said, these people, those who seek after what? After righteousness. He said, hear me, hearken to me, you who follow after righteousness and justice, you who seek and inquire of and require the Lord, claiming him by necessity and by right, look to the rock from which you are hewn, and to the hole in the quarry from which you are dug. Now, you are going to see the rock from which you are hewn. And the hole from which you are dug. Verse 2. He said, look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you. For I called him when he was but one. And I blessed him and made him many. You may not get this very well. If you look at the King James Version, it says, for I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. So in other words, as we often say, like begets like. The family of God have a pattern. Has a pattern. And God is saying that those who belong to the family of God, they were hewn. They were made. They were dug out. They were formed out of what? Out of Abraham. Who is our father by faith. He said, do what? Take your example from him. Look unto him. Follow after him. Just like the way he said, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Look at the way he believed me. Look at the way Abraham referenced him, me. Look at the way he obeyed me. Look unto the rock for which you are hewn. Look at Abraham. Look at the what I did with his life. He said, for I called him alone. In other words, when he was just only him, just one. And somebody has said, and I think I've repeated it here, that God will call what? One person. God will do what? Bless one person. He will prosper one person. He will make a covenant with one person. That's what God does. Group effect is very negligible. Until you come to that point where you come to a realization that God has that special relationship with you as a person. The manifestation of the glory of God in your life will depend on the level to which you believe him. When the word says, maybe before I say that, do you know that your belief, your style of belief, is what determines the kind of person you are? That's the sum total of who you are. You may read from now till tomorrow, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It says, you are a peculiar people, a holy nation. When he spoke that word to them in the Old Testament, what do you think happened? Peculiar people, only very few of them were peculiar indeed. Why? Only those who believe were indeed peculiar to the Lord. Even though the original intention of God was to redeem the whole of Israel. But only those who believe became the peculiar people to him. And you and I, our level of belief, if we will follow Abraham, we will follow Jesus, is what's going to determine whether we are peculiar to him. Is what's going to determine whether we are a chosen generation. Is what is going to determine whether we are of a royal priesthood. It is our belief that will mark us out and differentiate us from other people. Open to Mark chapter 10, verse 28 to 31. The apostles also alluded to this kind of belief. Mark chapter 10, 28 to 31. The apostles also talk about this kind of belief. The kind of belief that Abraham had is the kind of belief that makes you run to God and stay with him. Mark 10. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. That is Peter for you. He won't miss words. He won't miss words. He will say it. He just told the Lord, he said, look, Jesus, do you know what? We people, some of us are married, though. Some of us have relatives, so we have 20 cousins. 50 sisters. We have fathers. We have mothers. In fact, some of us used to control millions. In fact, some of us were well established before we knew you. In fact, some of us were successful businessmen. In my village, people knew me as a successful fisherman. They knew I could close my eyes and still know where the fishes are. I was so proficient in what I was doing. He said, yet, when you came, we did what? We left all and we followed you. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that had left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospels. Verse 30. This is the bit when I was reading it, it's really, you know, I read it differently again. Say, but he shall receive 100-fold. Now in this time, look at this. Now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands. How can you have mothers? How can you have sisters? Okay, you can have sisters, but how can you have mothers? How can you have fathers? And lands. Look at the last part of it. Look at the last part of it. Can we read together? With persecutions and in the world to come, eternal life. Hundredfold of what? Of blessings mixed with what? But he says, be of good cheer because I've overcome. You see, what can make us rejoice in the midst of persecution is not because the persecutions come. It is because we know that we are victorious. And I think that answered the question. I think we were here praying on Friday and somebody raised the question. He said, if you remember, he said, why is it that, you know, as you get higher in the Lord, it's like one thing after one hump, then another one will come, another one will come, another one will come. So when I was reading this again, it just occurred to me. He said, look, this is what Jesus promised us, you and I. So you will receive what? You will receive sisters, brothers, you know, and what have you. All with what? With a mingle of persecution in between. But the other bit, he said, I think I will just leave it there. So we should not be surprised. But in the midst of it all, he said, rejoice now again. And I say, rejoice. How can somebody rejoice because of persecution? How can you rejoice because of... But that is the way of the gospel. That is what we were told this morning. He said, look, you can look at those areas of your life where you can see the hand of God and begin to thank God for those areas. And you know what? The other areas will begin to look smaller and smaller and smaller. Praise the Lord. Because it's going to come with persecution. And somebody said, he said, if God has blessed you and he has not blessed you to the point that people will even envy you or persecute you, he said, you have not known blessing. Do you know what? If people want to be like you, do you know it's a good thing? Isn't it? How many people want to be like somebody who is a non-entity? That there's nothing nice happening in their lives. Nobody wants to be like that. It's a manifestation of the presence and the hand of God upon your life that will make people look at you and say, that, you know, what's happening in your life, I like it too. Praise the Lord. But the other bit to where we just read in Mark is this. Jesus now says, if you leave all this thing for me, I'm going to give you mothers, sisters. Where will he get them from? Please, where will he get all those mothers and brothers and sisters from? So in other words, you lose one mother. That is if your mother is not in the Lord. But if your mother is in the Lord, what's going to happen? You gain additional mothers. You gain additional sisters. You gain additional brethren. You gain additional whatever you have come to him with. Can you open with me to Mark chapter 3, verse 33 to 35? He says, and he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. In other words, everyone on the journey to eternity with you, they are your companion. They are your brothers. They are your sisters. They are the ones we should flock together. In other words, your relationship with people should not depend on what? Their age, color, creed, or whatever. The only thing that determines your level of intimacy with people is whether they have somewhere they are going or not. And if they have the same destination as you, then they are your what? Your brothers and your sister. So that is where Jesus is saying he's going to manufacture brothers and sisters and mothers for you. In other words, in the church, God has brothers, sisters, mothers for you among the brethren. Unfortunately, that is not the experience. Or we don't perceive it as so. Unfortunately, we don't what? We don't perceive it as so. Because the actual experience that people have is not the experience of people who have the same destination. We come in with different kind of destinations and agendas instead of focusing on the same thing that Jesus will focus on. And that's what he said. He said, these people who are coming to do the will of my Father, they are my brothers and my sisters. And unfortunately, what happens is this. If things become difficult for us within the household of Christ, where are we going to run to? Where are we going to run to? There's nowhere. Where are we going to run to? Are we going to run back to Egypt? Where we have already left. In Galatians, Paul was saying, he said, woe unto me if I build again those things that I have what? Destroyed. Those things that I've spoken against, those things that I've said they are not right, if I start to build them again, he said, woe unto me. We cannot go back to Egypt. We have no other place to go to. We have the body of Christ to build, and that is where we are going to be, to build it and make it what Christ wanted to be. We have a responsibility. And that's why I was telling us last week, we have a responsibility to build up the body of Christ. I'm not talking about people bringing somebody to this church. I'm talking about people preaching Christ to somebody, converting them so that they belong to the Lord. Because this is the body we have. And it's been depopulated. There are many more people leaving the churches than the new people that are coming in. A lot of the new faces we see, they are people who circulate from church to church. They are not necessarily people who have been born again. Because it is well known that the fastest growing religion is what? It's Islam. He said, I will give you brothers hundredfold. Hundredfold. So you can have 100 mothers, 100 brothers. So if you already have your mom who is in the Lord, plus 100. So you have 101 mothers. 101 fathers. Praise the Lord. That's what God is saying. So when we start to relate to God as he has instructed us, that is when we can enjoy his abiding presence. When we read in James chapter 2 verse 23, he said, and he was called a friend of God. a friend of God. Are you afraid to show up in your friend's house? No. I know there are many people in this place that have visited them. I didn't ring them before going to their homes. I dare not visit a friend, a colleague from work without first calling them and making an appointment. Will you be at home? Will you be, you know, what day will it suit you? You bring his diary, you put it on whatever. But I'm telling you, there are some people, and we want to go out, and my wife, we just say, look, let them drive to their house. If they are not there, we know they are not there. If we have something for them, put it under the door, and we'll go back. And we'll drive there. If they are there, I don't know whatever they plan, but nobody has ever told me I have something that I planned, so please go back. No, I will sit down and talk with them, or if they are not at home, I will slip something under their door, and I will go back. What do I mean by that? Abiding presence of God. So in other words, we can boldly walk to God. We can boldly stand in his presence and begin to pray and begin to decree things. And God will make them stand. And of course, people who have this abiding presence, they are the ones who will live a life of the supernatural. And that's why, look, when you go to Judges chapter 6, verse 13, Gideon was speaking there. Gideon was speaking. You know what he said? He said, if God be with us, you know, when the angel came and told him, Gideon, this is what's going to happen. You know, you are a mighty man of valor. This is what you are going to be able to do. He just said, please, Mr. Angel, can you just, you know, give me a breathing space, please? If all that you are saying, if God be with us, how come all these things are befalling us? Where are the miracles that our fathers spoke about? In other words, where are the miracles that the apostles spoke about that we are reading in the Acts of the Apostles? Where is it in our midst? God wants people who will believe him. God wants people who will believe him so that he can release them to their destiny. So that they can live in the supernatural. We will see the glory of God in Jesus' name. Otherwise, it's just going to be some people, you know, talking about it and, somebody said this, somebody said that, and we are not going to experience it ourselves. And that was something that sort of baffled Gideon and said, I mean, where are those miracles that they talked about? It all lies in the style of believing. Of course, when we believe God, the way Abraham, from whom we are hewn, and the pit from which we were dug, when we believe God like him, we will begin to live in hope. And I want to let you know that one of the biggest problems that the world has today is that the world has no hope. I'm telling you, the world has no hope. That is why the world keeps digging around and begin to look for things that, you know, the world is running helter-skelter and looking for things that tells them that they are going to be destroyed. We fear what's going to happen to the weather. We fear what's going to do this, and we are running. And I told us last Friday, the Friday of the night vigil, I said, look, it's simply a confirmation of what God said. When Peter said, he said, the world will come to an end with what? With what? With fervent heat. He didn't say like with flood. He said with fervent heat. I said, and all the elements will do what? Will melt and pass away. It doesn't matter whether we're able to delay it for 1 billion years. What is going to happen is what God has said. The elements will have to melt. If the world has hope, we won't be so scared. We won't be so running helter-skelter. No, it's true. We won't be running helter-skelter. It's because the world has no hope. I'm sure many of us read about the tragic event of this young lady, this newscaster, you know, that, I mean, it's happened a while ago. They are bringing it again, up again. No, now when you look at her, I mean, she had everything going for her. But there's more to life than that. And she just she came to a point where she felt an emptiness, a hopelessness. But you know what? When you are at that place, there's somebody to look up to. There is a hope greater than the hope that the world can give you. You can look back and just say, look, even though things don't seem to be right now, but I have a God. And I know that things can turn around. And I'm telling you, always, I'm sure you've been through situations and it looks like the whole thing is going to end now. There is no way out. And what happens? You just go through the fiery furnace and you get out on the other side. And sometimes you want to even remember those things that happened. You say, well, but why was I so disturbed? Why was I so worried about this thing? Why? So it was going to end like this. If we will believe him the way we ought to believe him, it will engender hope in our lives. Praise the Lord. I promise us that 12:30 is 12:30. So lastly, 1 minute. When we have this hope, when we have this hope, we will trust God and we will be patient. You remember I told you that because we have nowhere to run to, we'll find solution in him. Every solution is where? Is in him. Let's go to John chapter 6, verse 66 to 69. John 6, 66 to 69. I always enjoy this bit. Because, you see, the life of Jesus exemplifies everything that's our life, everything you ever go through. As a person, I find out that the life of Jesus exemplifies every moment you are going to pass through. John 6, 66 to 69. It says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. No more with who? With Jesus. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? He asked them. He said, then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, look at it this way. This is the way we need to be looking at life. He said, then Simon Peter answered him. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of what? Of eternal life. And we believe, because that's the important thing. Look at it. He goes on to say, I will believe and assure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, where can I run to? Where will I go? Because what? You have the word of eternal life. This is where my hope is. This is where my life is. This is my future. This is all I can ever hope to be. And I do what? And I believe. I do what? I believe. It's not that I have nowhere to run to. I also believe. It comes down to believing again. So I believe. And I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Can we just rise on our feet? Let's rise on our feet. If we believe him, we will confess his words, what he says concerning us. Because Proverbs chapter 10, verse 11 says, he said, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. It's a well of life. Can you begin to decree life, into your life right now? Decree life into your business. Decree life into the life of your children. The life of Christ into their lives. Decree the life of Christ into your work. Decree the life of Christ into your situation. Decree the word of Jesus into your circumstance. Because when we believe him, we will confess his word. He said, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Thank you, Jesus. Because my mouth is a well of life. He said, if you believe, and not doubting. If you say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. So can you just begin to decree life? Every area of your life that you want to witness the touch of God, can you begin to decree the life of God into that area? He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out demons. Oh, yes. They will lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be made whole. Can you begin to decree? Begin to decree. Because you believe. And Peter said, I believe. Thank you, Jesus. I believe you can do it. I believe you can turn my circumstance around. I believe you can turn my situation around. I just believe. I believe, oh Lord, that whatever I lay my hands upon to do, you are going to prosper it. Even though I may not be able to see it now, but I just know and I believe you will prosper me in the mighty name of Jesus. And I believe it is well with my children in the mighty name of Jesus. They are going to be heads and not tail. Oh, that they are going to lead their generation in the mighty name of Jesus. I believe it is well with me. I believe I enjoy supernatural health. I believe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. For your word has not left us without comfort. And your word has not left us without hope. For if our hope were to be in this world alone, we are most miserable. But our hope is not of this world. We have a greater and a higher hope, knowing that Jesus lives. Knowing that you and you, we decree a thing in your name, they will stand. Lord, I decree health to our homes this afternoon in Jesus' name. I decree health to our bodies in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree a hope for the future into every life now in the mighty name of Jesus. I decree breakthrough in all your ways in the mighty name of Jesus. Because we believe, we will see your goodness. We'll be called the friends of God. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we believe. Can we share the grace in fellowship, please? In the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us now forevermore. Amen. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you've been blessed this morning, I say, praise the Lord. Amen. Amen.